In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up. That by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. Tonight, we had Stephanie Schwartz on the show, and not quite sure what happened in our communication, but tonight, we are going to wing it. If Stefan shows up, that's awesome, and if he doesn't, we're still going to have a great show. I am so thrilled to have my producer, Jacob Kappas, with us tonight, and he and I are going to be chatting a little bit. And Jacob, I know that you just got engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, just about 2.5 weeks ago.
So exciting. And he proposed to her, you guys, in the bookstore. Is it the bookstore where you met?
No, it's a bookstore that she went to a lot during grad school. So she was working down the street from it, and on her lunch break, she'd stop in the bookstore, grab a coffee, and just buy books, you know?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I just got to see the pictures before the show. And, you know, Jacob, what I love about that is I always associate love with spring. Hmm. You know, it seems like spring is such a time of new beginnings. Mm-hmm. So it just makes sense to me that you're in this beautiful place of this blooming love in your life.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a fresh start, even though it's not something that's new. It feels fresh and new. And I was kind of excited because you kind of get that honeymoon phase again for, you know, a few weeks after you've been dating for so long, you know.
Well, and how long have you guys been dating?
Well, we've been on and off for a couple years, just sort of testing the waters, seeing if it works. But we've always stayed really good friends and been in the same friend group. But about 10 months ago, we decided we were just going to do this. And it's been great, honestly.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And so now you're entering this new level of commitment, this new phase of depth and knowing one another. You know, I always say, and this is not to scare you, Jacob, that love brings up anything unlike itself for the purpose of being healed. Hmm. So my hunch is there's a lot of continued growth and healing and joy that's going to continue to come in this relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really sweet when two people come together and you have all these past hurts and things that may have happened in your life that you still need to heal from. And it's not that the person necessarily fixes all those things that have happened, but you can kind of come together and work through those together and find out what the other person needs. And that's been really, really sweet for me.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that, because that's one of the things when I had Larry Dossey on the show a couple years ago, I love that his golden rule in relationships is not do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's do unto others as they would have done unto them.
Huh. That is a really cool way to think about that.
Isn't that great? So it's really learning each other's love language. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, if you've ever read that by Gary Chapman, I just want to invite anybody in the audience to check that out, to take the love language assessment. It's Love Languages Assessment, and you can do a free assessment to find out what your love language is. And the reason that's so important is because we might have one love language, and the five love languages are gifts, acts of service, words of affirmation, quality time, and physical touch. And so if your love language, for example, is quality time and your partner's is acts of service, you might miss each other. You know, it's like one of you is speaking Portuguese and the other one speaking Swahili, you know? So it's learning each other's love languages so you can gift each other in that language.
Yeah, that's it's actually something we've spent a long time talking to each other about. I read that book actually when I was in high school and, you know, kind of really enjoyed those, the different facets of that. But it's really interesting to see how, even if you do have a similar love language, that it still can manifest itself in different ways, I think, for each individual.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your love language, Jacob?
Well, like many people who are my age and who are male, physical touch and words of affirmation for me. But even for Rachel, my fiance, her love language is also physical touch, but we receive that in different ways from each other.
Well, and I think that's an important point too, because so often we equate physical touch with just sex. And physical touch is actually when you walk by your partner and you rub them on the shoulder or you give them a hug or a squeeze. You know, it's those little bitty things of like, maybe you sit by each other and you're holding hands. I mean, it's literally physical touch.
Yep, exactly right. She loves a leg massage or like for me to scratch her back or something like that. And that for her is, does more for her than, you know, some of the more intimate things we might associate with physical touch.
That's awesome. And so that's really it. You know, it's learning how to become, you know, how there's horse whisperers and dog whisperers. It's like becoming your partner's whisperer. You really tune in and attune to them, learning how to speak their language. And, you know, I think it's important. We could dovetail this with the importance of behaviors that show love. And there's a certain list of behaviors that when you demonstrate this, you really are showing your partner that you love them. And we'll get back to the love languages in a moment, but I think this is important. So things that are really important in behaviors. So it's affection, attention, attunement. Attunement means that you tune in to your partner. You know how they're feeling. That's that whole, you know, partner whisperer. So I know that, oh, when he or she has that face, usually it means this, or when they have that tone of voice, I want to tune into them. And then the other behaviors are excitement, inquiry, interest, and of course, empathy and validation. So there's so many of these behaviors that I think, you know, they build love. So going back though to this point of the love languages and the importance of learning one another's, because we want to gift each other in our love language. So like my love language is quality time. And so quality time means that you're sitting there just talking face to face and you're not watching a movie. You're not out. I mean, quality time for me could be maybe running together or doing, you know, physical activities together, but it's really that one-on-one time. So I have to share with you, Jacob, that I'm being challenged right now because my partner just left 2 days ago for Central America on a spiritual quest where he drove his motorcycle. And we don't know exactly when he's going to be back home. So it might be a month, it might be 2 months, it might be 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And so really, you know, this is this challenging moment or moments of how to, number one, be in the present moment, how to stay connected, and how to really trust when you don't have definitive boundaries around, okay, if my love language is quality time, how do we create quality time when we're going to be in two different continents?
And that's so interesting too, because, you know, we've kind of been through this season collectively as people where it's been difficult to get out and be with our people. I think in some cases, some people have been away from their families. Some people have not, you know, seen or hugged their parents in however long it is. And so for you now, you know, it's kind of going back to that where you've been living with this person and now you don't know where, when they're going to show up again. And that's, that seems pretty scary.
Well, it definitely, I mean, you know, just being transparent, it absolutely, you know, at times can be a trigger to past wounds of abandonment, you know, with my father. So I can really, you know, if I'm not conscious, I can get caught, right? So I have to remain conscious in I'm connected. I've never been more connected to another human being in my life. So it's a matter of staying conscious, really staying in the present moment and not getting into, you know, I talk to my transformational life, you know, coaching clients and my own clients so often, my psychotherapy clients, about not getting too into the future and worrying about the big what ifs. You know, when we get into the what if conversations in our heads, we're just creating fear and anxiety for ourselves. So let me tell you, this has been an awesome lesson for me in practicing what I preach, because when I can reel myself back in, and I think I live here about 99% of the time in the present moment, all is well. You know, life is really beautiful and really good right here and now. If I start playing the what if game, I don't know when he's coming home. What if this happens? What if that happens? I'm actually putting myself in a place of fear. And none of that's happening now. It's all fantasy. And so one of the things I tell clients a lot is that, you know, if you're going to fantasize about the future, you might as well make it a good one instead of creating all this angst and anxiety for yourself. So, and so Jacob, I don't know about you. Do you have ways that you help yourself to stay present?
Yeah. And it kind of comes back to this, what you're describing to me sounds a lot like self-care and self-love. And that is something that I have been learning and trying to perfect and not doing the best job of at times. And I tend to, I think, drift into like a separation anxiety kind of mindset. So what I do to get past that is, I think, is focus on not what necessarily the feelings are that I'm experiencing, or the what if thoughts that you mentioned, but looking at the evidence of the relationship. So the evidence of the good that I tend to not believe, I think, is there. So when I get anxious, I believe lies. I start telling myself things that aren't actually true. And instead of me just telling myself, oh, but this is true, you know, this is true, instead I look at the evidence of why it's true. Examples of where that anxiety has not been true, and where, you know, if I'm feeling unloved or uncared for in a certain way, but there's proof that that's actually not true, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's brilliant. That's such a brilliant strategy. And ironically, that is one of the ways that I teach clients how to untwist their thinking. And I call it looking for evidence, right? So you're looking for the data, you're looking for the evidence that supports this negative belief or this unrealistic belief. And another thing that we have is something called emotional reasoning. So it's like, well, I feel this way right now. I'm feeling this anxiety, so it must be true. And the reality is, if you do the thing that you're talking about and you look at what is supporting this thought, you won't be able to find any.
So for you, because you have these tools and strategies that you teach your clients, right? Mm-hmm. Is it easy for you to practice that yourself, or is it, you know, I'm trying to imagine like being in a coaching position where I'm telling people this is a strategy that you can use to, you know, overcome this. But here you are now in a situation where you might have to practice it yourself. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I feel like honestly, I'm one of those people that there's no way I could teach it unless I was living it.
Okay.
Because it's just coming from that place of integrity. And I want to know that the strategies and the things that I'm teaching my clients really do work. So I practice them as well. And I think, you know, for me, one of my biggest tools that I use, and I absolutely utilized it this morning, I utilized it last night, is a practice of surrender. And I think there's really a duality to surrender, that people can say, oh, that feels weak, or I'm giving up or giving in. And that's not what it is at all. Surrender is actually not clinging to that things have to be anything other than the way they are in this moment. And so when we surrender to the divine, you know, divine timing, divine flow, and we know that whatever's happening right now is exactly as it should be, and stop clinging, then we're able to breathe. You know, I was having a lot of emotions last night, really missing him already, and just feeling like just a little heartbroken. And it's okay to feel it. I guess I want to say that too, Jacob. It's absolutely okay to feel it. And I want to encourage people to feel their feelings. And we also want to make sure that we're not clinging to the way things have to be. And so when we take some really deep breaths, really get into your heart center and surrender this situation, you know, it's like giving it up and just saying, okay, I know that what's happening right now is what needs to be happening right now. I can't tell you the peace that I've experienced in my life. It's been a huge, huge thing in my life. So I just, you know, I want to invite people to practice that, to practice, Jacob, you know, your wonderful strategy of, it's like knocking, you know, beliefs that are false narratives.
That I appreciate that. That's really cool. And you're right. I do agree that you should feel it. I think that's important to not necessarily block out those emotions, right? But I think when you feel it, you're able to heal from it and, you know, actually grow.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk more about that after the break. I think that's a great place to take a break and just to know that that is going to be some of the essential key. How do we feel it? We're going to talk about that after the break. How do we feel it? And then how do we move through it so we can be a clearer conduit to really experiencing joy in the present moment?
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off, you're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Juggling life's relentless demands can leave us unbalanced and restless. Do you feel stuck in the overwhelm? Diane McClay is a personal empowerment coach, author, and compassionate storyteller on a mission to boost you into balance and help you move forward with passion and purpose. Get unstuck with Diane on The Diane McClay Show every second and fourth Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Diane, visit DianeMcClay.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Don't miss Colette Marie Steffen on The Truth Is Funny, Shift Happens, every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Colette is a renowned energy worker here to help you see the serendipitous humor of the truth. It's funny. Tune in and laugh with Colette. Shift into your highest potential. Call into the show to work on your personal shift with Colette and visit thetruthisfunny.com to learn more about all the life-shifting services Colette offers.
Welcome back to The Spark. So glad to have you here with us tonight. So thankful for this beautiful listening audience. All of your comments, your emails, please keep them coming. You can get a hold of me at any time at stephaniejames.world. And you can find events that are upcoming, my speaking events. You can join the Igniting Your Best Life group. And you can purchase my book, The Spark Igniting Your Best Life, and sign up for your own transformational life coaching with me. And there's free gifts on there as well. There's a Igniting the Spark Within free visualization. And you can sign up as well for a 20-minute free exploration call. So love to be in contact with you. Please go to stephaniejames.world and join the movement. So I'm here tonight with my awesome producer, Jacob Kappas, and I'm so thrilled that he's joining me tonight. Our guest, Stephanie Schwartz, we had some kind of communication gap and somehow we have missed each other on this time. No worries at all. Glad that we are here together. So we've been talking about relationships and love. And one of the things we kind of left off with, Jacob, is this thing of allowing ourselves to feel our feelings.
Yeah. And I think initially I kind of, when I was describing my practice for sort of shutting out anxiety and these negative thoughts, I said that, you know, I don't focus on the emotion. I kind of try to like logic my way out of it almost and focus on the facts, I guess you could put it. But then you mentioned, you know, that it is important to feel the emotions, I think, to work through them and to allow yourself to grow that way. And I guess I'm kind of curious, like, what are some ways that you would kind of maybe do both, I guess? So,
yeah, great question. I think that, you know, one of the important things is, you know, there's this saying that we all know that what we resist persists. So if we're like really trying to push down the anxiety and we're really trying to push down sorrow, it's going to come back up with a vengeance. So what we want to do is acknowledge, first of all, that we're even experiencing it. There's this great mnemonic device, which is naming is taming. So as we name it, you know, Jacob, even as you're having anxiety, if you name it like I am experiencing anxiety right now, what you've done is you've objectified it. You've taken it outside of you. And so you, instead of saying, I am anxious and defining yourself as this anxious person, you're saying, I'm experiencing anxiety. And just that little switch in your mind, it's a little switch in perspective, gives you some distance. You can actually hold it in a different way. And so, you know, what I invite people to do too, is to really do a body meditation. And it's definitely something that I've worked on through my life, and it's becoming a better reader of how your body registers emotions. So Jacob, if I asked you right now, like, where do you usually experience anxiety? Where do you get a physical hit of that? What would you say?
And when you say physical hit, you mean where, like, in my body, am I feeling that anxiety?
Mm-hmm.
I feel it in I feel heavy in my chest. I sort of like a pressure feeling, I'd say. And I also kind of feel it in my head. I think sometimes I get like maybe anxiety induced headaches or something like that.
Yeah.
A little bit of pressure there.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, I experience it as well, as that tightness in the chest. And then I really feel it in my throat.
Okay.
And so as we start to become better readers of our emotions and where they land in our body, we can actually start, we can say, okay, I'm experiencing anxiety, or I'm experiencing deep sadness right now. My chest is really heavy. My heart hurts. And instead of saying, I don't want that, I'm not going to have that, you know, instead of exacerbating the emotion by saying, you know, we have anxiety about having anxiety and we get mad that we're mad, you know? And so we can intensify our experience instead of just saying again, yep, that's what's here. And we breathe in to that emotion. We breathe into that energy center. So when we do that, instead of, you know, saying, I don't want to feel this way, I'm not going to feel it, we're just like, okay, what's here? And so by doing that, you know, we really are able to lessen actually the intensification of the emotion itself. And as we just focus on, okay, am I having a tightness in my chest? Is my throat tight? What we start to notice is that energy that's there starts to move and shift and actually dissipate as we breathe into it. And an important thing too is, you know, you get out of the mind and into the body. When they've done research where they evoked by a sharp noise or something with research students, something that would stimulate the flight or fight response, the brain stays lit up in anxiety only 90 seconds. That's the average that we actually feel anxious if we don't start telling ourselves the story about it. As we start telling ourselves the story and we're multiplying, like, oh my gosh, I know this person was talking about me and I know they probably think I'm this and they probably think I'm that. The more we say the story, the more cortisol and adrenaline are getting released, the higher the anxiety feeling. So we can stop the story and drop into our body and feel what's happening and just breathe through it. And it's amazing, Jacob, how that can shift the energy and help us to dissipate it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't think I've ever like consciously tried to do that, but you know, now that you've mentioned it, next time I'm feeling that, I think I might, you know, give that a try. You mentioned we get anxious about being anxious, or we are mad that we're mad. And you're talking about storytelling. And what I tend to do when I'm feeling insecure about something is I'll make up a story in my head, but you know, you're having like a conversation in your head that doesn't exist. And you are already like planning what you would do if that thing happened, but it's not happening. And so you're sitting there getting upset at, you know, this thing that doesn't exist. And yet you still, it feels so real, you know?
It does feel so real. And I think, again, you know, this is the importance of bringing ourselves back to the present moment. Because what we have this mind that already, number one, it already has a natural negativity bias. So it's always focusing. It's literally scanning the environment for any kind of potential threat. And so it will notice negative things. It will also pull us into that place of the what if to protect us, right? And there's also this, if you think of it this way, it's like negative events are Velcro in the brain. So like when you were 5 or 6 years old and you touched the hot stove, you only had to touch it once for your brain to file that as never do that again, right? It was painful, it hurt. Mm-hmm. And positive experiences are a little bit more like, I say, like fried eggs on a Teflon pan. They slide right off because our brain doesn't need to file those to perpetuate our species, right? It's really that it's the negative events, the things we have to watch out for. So in a way, our brain's just trying to keep us safe when it's playing the what if game. And we have to get really clear that the what if game does not serve us at all. And so here's the great thing is that we can actually program our mind for what we want to think about instead. Now I want to reiterate, this isn't about avoiding your emotions by any means. It's about when you realize what's happening and you are having an emotional response that is not based on reality, but the story, you can reel yourself back into the present moment and mood alter at will. So here's the thing, Jacob, like when you were telling me that you're thinking about the future and then you start getting all this anxiety and all this is happening, like you said, it's not happening now, but physiologically you're experiencing it. You're getting the adrenaline and cortisol dump. You're getting the, you know, anxiety in your body. And the same is true if we're ruminating about the past. We're like, oh, why did that happen? Or why did I do this? Or why did that person do this to me? None of that is happening in the present moment, but our mind is experiencing it as happening now. So we get the hit of emotion, we get the physiological response. So here's the beautiful thing, is that what we can do is we can choose to breathe into our body again. You know, I really encourage people to like feel into their hands. One of the ways to bring ourselves to the present moment is really breathing into your hands. You can put your hands together in a prayer position. And what you do is you feel into each finger, through each finger to each fingertip. You feel into your palms. You feel into the energy and space in between your hands. And as you're breathing into that, it's bringing you back more and more to the present moment. And then you can choose what you want to focus on. That's one of the beautiful things about us as human beings. We can choose what we pay attention to. So choosing to pay attention to a memory, you could actually pull up a memory, Jacob, if you thought of right now a favorite place you went to as a kiddo. And when you think of this place, you feel joy, you felt safe, comfortable, carefree. Is there a place that comes to mind?
Yeah. For me growing up, it was my grandma's house on my mom's side, because that's where all my cousins were, you know, just across town. And They were my best friends growing up, and there were a lot of them. So, but yeah, definitely.
That's so awesome. So if I asked you right now to think about that place, even a little deeper, I'm going to have you do a little experiment with me, okay?
Yep, sounds good.
So if I said to you, Jacob, I want you to focus on, as you think of that place in your mind's eye, what is it that you're seeing?
I'm seeing the front yard that we spend most of our time in. And it's funny because I'm imagining it as if I were a kid. So I'm seeing all my cousins as, you know, the 5 and 6 year olds that they were at the time. So,
yes.
Yeah. And I can vividly see the front door of the house that we were at, you know.
Wonderful. And also then moving through your senses, what is it that you're hearing as you think about that memory?
I'm hearing a lot of laughter, and a lot of yelling, but not, you know, as kids do.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
Voices. I just say, you know, yeah, the voices of my family there.
Beautiful. And so are there certain smells, like a fragrance, a certain aroma in the house, the land around grandma's house? Is there anything that you remember about that?
Yeah. I come from a pretty big Cambodian family, and I'm just smelling the cooking, you know, that, you know, once we moved away, and you kind of lose that same smell that you're familiar with all the time, because it's just not there. But, you know, it's really vivid in my mind right now.
Yeah, beautiful. And then moving into your sense of taste, I mean, this might be the food. What is there a food or beverage that you associate with that memory?
Yeah, the stir fry that they would make. And it's hard for me to just even describe what that taste is, but, you know, because it's so distinct. But yeah, that's what's coming to my mind right now.
Awesome. Okay. And now moving into your body, imagine your body in that place and what you would be touching or feeling with your touch senses, or what would be touching you. What do you notice?
The feeling of grass, you know, like in like a big field, almost like a soccer field or so. There's just beautifully mowed grass under my feet, and I'm barefoot.
Love that. Great image. And now I just want to invite you, Jacob, to move into your heart center. As you're pulling up this memory, what emotions are there for you?
It's a carefree emotion. I think just peace. And I'm really not feeling any sense of like worry or responsibility, which, you know, as a kid, you don't have that. But
right.
I feel like it's constant. That constantly bogs you down as an adult. And yeah, I'm not feeling that so much right now.
Yeah. So as you've just visited this space in your mind, what are you noticing about your body, your breathing, your mind?
Well, as we've been talking, as we've been doing this, I've kind of slouched further and further into my chair. So I'm a little bit, you know, comfy now. I feel a bit slower, I'd say, you know, like I'm comparing this to the pace of life that I experienced in my small college town versus living near the city now. And I'm kind of feeling that relaxed sense of, you know, not being in a hurry. Yeah.
A sense of well-being.
Yeah. And I just feel very present now that you know, which you described that before, but it's kind of one thing to talk about, another to feel present. So I'm not thinking even about what's happening in 20 minutes from now. I'm just here.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. So you've just so beautifully described how our listeners can do this for themselves. You know, I don't even think we spent, you know, 5 minutes doing that exercise. It doesn't take long. And here's the cool thing. When you practice something like this, like going to a calm, safe place, the more that you do it, the more that you practice it, what you're doing is you're carving the neural pathways that say, when I bring up this memory, I feel this. I feel the relaxation. I feel the joy. I feel, even though you have a past memory, interestingly, it's bringing you to the present moment where you can be more relaxed and more focused. No longer are you worrying about something, you know, in the past, or, you know, fearful about something in the future. So it's just a beautiful technique of really helping yourself come right here, breathing into your body, and then pulling up something that makes you feel good. So using that strategy or that tactic, that thing that happens in our brain, but using it for good, something that serves us. So thank you, Jacob, so much for being willing to be vulnerable and practice that on the air.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for walking me through that. I will definitely lock that away and use it, you know, more frequently, I think. So
awesome. And the one thing I would add to that, if there was one thing that I do with my coaching clients and my psychotherapy clients, is I invite them to actually use a touch point. I do this because this is mine. This doesn't have to be anybody else's. But when we have a touch point, it helps us to hardwire that relaxation response to muscle memory. So just one added thing that will help hardwire it even more securely, more strongly, and you'll get even more of that deep relaxation well-being response. So grateful, Jacob, to have you here on the show with me tonight. I am loving this conversation, and I'm excited to come back and talk even more about loving relationships, loving ourselves, how do we befriend ourselves and emotions. So much more ahead. Looking forward to having everyone join us.
The Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Hannah Belton. When my brother Christian went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there's things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go, whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle. That process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. You can find me at hannahvelton.online.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on transformationtalkradio.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth Is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Juggling life's relentless demands can leave us unbalanced and restless. Do you feel stuck in the overwhelm? Diane McClay is a personal empowerment coach, author, and compassionate storyteller on a mission to boost you into balance and help you move forward with passion and purpose. Get unstuck with Diane on The Diane McClay Show every second and fourth Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Diane, visit DianeMcClay.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Spark. So excited that you're here with us tonight. We're having a really unique and really intimate conversation with myself and my producer, Jacob Kappas, who is so awesome that he stepped up tonight when our guest, Stefan Schwartz, wasn't able to make it. So we've been having this amazing conversation about life and love, about how we change negative thoughts and how we change negative feelings within us and move towards feelings and experiences that serve us so much better. And so, Jacob, what other questions do you have that might go along with what we're talking about tonight?
Yeah, so, this has been like a very one-on-one conversation between the two of us, and you walked me through that exercise, which was very helpful. And I'm kind of just curious what it looks like to support someone else in that. So whether it's a partner or a close friend or a family member who is, you know, dealing with those negative emotions too, and what it looks like to be, to come alongside them and not necessarily take on a coaching role, but, you know, be a supporter.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's such a great question, because I think this does go back to what we were talking about when we were talking about the love languages. And you and I were talking about this a little bit on break. I think that when someone's going through a tough emotion, our natural go-to is to say, you know, what we would want to hear, or to do what we would, again, have done onto us, not necessarily what our partner needs. So I think one of the most important questions you can ask when someone's struggling is to say to them, how can I support you? Now, they might not know. They might say, I don't know. You know, they're feeling overwhelmed, you know, especially if they're really having an anxiety response. And if it's your partner, then oftentimes you don't even have to say anything. It can literally be, you know, I'm here to support you. Let me know how I can do that. And I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to listen, whatever you need to say, or if you want me to hold your hand, I'm right here. So sometimes it's just physical proximity. And I think, Jacob, too, one of the things that's really important that I see with a lot of the couples, I do a lot of couples counseling. One of the important pieces is to try not and fix it for our partner.
Right.
Because when we get into fix it mode, we're not even really hearing them anymore. We're already, our mind's going, we're like, okay, I don't want my partner to hurt. So if they just do this, this, and this, I know this is going to work. They're going to feel better. And sometimes when our partners are in pain, they just need a witness. They need to be heard and felt, heard and seen. And I think when that happens, that can be part of the healing, to just be able to get their feelings out, even when it makes us as the partner uncomfortable hearing it. It's like, as we just talked about, Jacob, allowing ourselves to have our own emotions, we have to allow our partners to have their own emotions and their own experience as well.
That makes a lot of sense. And you're saying this to me, and I'm realizing that is what I do, is I enter fix it mode right away. Or I tend to. And sometimes what happens as a byproduct of that, which is actually pretty negative, I think, is that sometimes I'll make it about me at that point. You know, you've tried to fix it. You've done what you think is caring and loving to that person. And then when it's not working, you take it personally, and you're wondering, well, why aren't you accepting this from me right now? And that, I feel like that just makes it way worse.
Yeah. And I want you to know, Jacob, it's absolutely so common. I think as partners, that naturally happens unless we learn about it, unless we get conscious about that there's actually other ways that we can deal with it and other things we can do. And so that's just what you're learning now. And so your response is very, very normal. So we want to fix it. If we can't fix it, then we get frustrated and we personalize it. So stepping out of that old narrative of how you do that, I think is going to be really important for you. And so you could even say, gosh, I'm really struggling because I just want to fix this for you. And instead, I just want to choose to support you in the way that you need to be supported. So it's really inviting in that conversation with our partners. It's that touch point of saying, what is it that you need? And how can I best support you?
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Something that I think it probably takes practice. You know, I think that hearing it and doing it are two different things, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, and I'll share with you, you know, it took me a long time. I would say in my teenage years and early 20s, I had a little hothead. I had gone through my own pain through my parents' divorce, and had definitely struggled with the distancing from my father, feeling like, wow, I must be unlovable. And I really internalized that. And so until I really did some work through my 20s and into my 30s, that's how I started transforming that belief. But I did, I think I carried around that. And so I wasn't always as good at gauging when I was getting upset or angry. And so as I've practiced throughout my life, identifying when feelings are coming up, you know, and learning how to befriend these emotions, I'm able to say without exploding, without raising my voice, you know, literally being able to say, I am so angry with you right now. Hmm. And, you know, there's been times, not with my current partner, but with ex-partners, where I would have to say, like, we would maybe be having a political conversation. I had a boyfriend who he and I had opposite political views. And so when that button was getting pushed, I could get ramped up. I could feel, again, really being sensitive to what was happening in my body. You know, I could feel this heat coming in, my throat getting tight. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I'm getting so ticked right now. I can feel it. And so I'm going to go take a 20-minute break. And then when I'm not in this place, we can talk about it again. So I wasn't abandoning my partners. I think that's something that we can really learn to do, is not abandon our partners. Mm-hmm. But we learn, like, I need to take a time out right now. I'm in control of my emotions. Even if I feel out of control, I can be in control of my behavior around my emotions. And that's powerful.
Yeah, I love that. I love the idea of communicating, like you mentioned earlier in the show, communicating what emotion you were feeling. And I feel like in conflict especially, it's good to communicate that if you're doing it in a respectful way. So your partner also knows, okay, that is how they're feeling, and you know, they're not taking it out on me right now. And I feel like that maybe brings people closer to each other in this sort of situation where you don't want to be against each other, but it feels like you are. And right. I think by calling out those emotions, you're able to maybe find some common ground too.
Absolutely. And I think that's the precious gift, is like when we're able to do that, we're literally inviting our partner as well to drop into their best self. Mm-hmm. You know, by showing up and instead of being reactive, being responsive to the moment. And so, Jacob, I mean, all of this stuff takes practice. Nobody gets the manual when they start dating someone. You know, even if we read self-help books, it's going to be specific to our situation, but there are specific tools that will help really perpetuate more positive connection, more positive communication. And you know, as we're talking about this, one of the things that comes to mind for me is a tool that I have taught so many people. I absolutely use it in my own life. And that is the tool of open-hearted communication, which is very different than typical conversation, where if we're in a conflict with our partner, we want to be right. We want to prove that our point is the right point. And we're not really good listeners. So, you know, what I teach people to do is, number one, if you do get activated, you know, and like I said, like when I am aware, like I'm getting really angry, I need to take a time out, and I will be back. That's important to tell your partner. I will be back and we can talk about this. And let's say that you came home from work and something happened and you were really upset with your partner. It's not okay. You know, relationships aren't a free for all. It's not okay to come into the house and be like, we need to talk. I'm really upset and blah, 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 blah. All right. You are putting your partner on the defense like immediately. So instead, what is actually really powerful is to say, you know what? I'm aware that I'm really upset. I had some feelings that came up today. And is this a good time to connect? Now, here's something that's really important. I always talk about semantics. Words that we use have power. So we don't want to say, can we talk, or we need to talk? Because for 99% of the population, when someone said, we need to talk, somebody was in trouble. Yep. So immediately our fight or flight response is getting kicked in. And so your partner's not going to show up in the best way. But by asking them, is this a good time to connect? Then you're better ensuring that they're going to be able to drop into their hearts and come meet you and be emotionally present for this conversation. And so hopefully you talk about this before, like, babe, when I say, is this a good time to connect? What I'm wanting to do is have one of those open-hearted communications with you, one of those open-hearted conversations. And so when we do that, what we've agreed on ahead of time is when we have these kind of communications with one another, we drop our egos at the door. The goal is not who's right or wrong. You don't even have to agree with me. But what we've agreed to do is move towards a common goal that we are going to work towards understanding one another and connection. So the goal is very, very different than typical conversations, right? It's connection and understanding, not who's right or wrong. And so what happens in those conversations, it's so powerful, Jacob, because what people do is if I'm the person that requested the conversation, let's say I requested this conversation with you, then I would be what's called, I'm the sender. So I'm sending you the message and you're the receiver. So your job as a receiver is just to listen. And here's, you know, here's the hard part, because when we're just the person that's supposed to listen, oftentimes what can happen is we're already having the conversation of how we're going to respond in our minds. So we're not really listening. And so it's as much as we can drop into our hearts, be emotionally present, and you don't interrupt, you just listen. And then as the receiver, you're going to say back to the sender, okay, this is what I'm getting. This is what I heard you say. Tell me, do I have it? Did I get it? And then I always tell people that the extra credit question is to say, is there anything else? So, you know, I think that is inviting the space where healing can actually occur. And then you can reverse it after, you know, you've said, if you're the sender and you've said everything you need to say, you feel like your partner has heard you. And I forgot a very important secondary thing. As the receiver, one of the important things you can do too, after your partner feels like you've really heard them and you get it, you do some validation where you say, wow, that makes sense. Now, again, this isn't agreeing with them, but it's saying, wow, if you really thought that I was out running around and didn't call you because I didn't care, I would probably be upset too. Okay. Again, it's not agreeing with them saying their reaction or response or what they're saying to you is okay with you. You're not saying, yeah, that's the truth. I didn't care about you. You're saying, oh, I understand how you could be feeling that way given the circumstances. And then you're able to reverse it. And so both people end up really feeling heard. And it's when we feel heard and when we feel validated, we're really able to move towards resolution and repair. It is amazing. It's such a healing balm. So this is a strategy I teach, you know, all of my clients, all of my transformation clients. And what is amazing is even if it feels canned and kind of awkward at first, the more you practice it, it just becomes natural. It's just flow. And you resolve conflicts and difficulties so much quicker, you know, so much quicker. I can't say that word. So much quicker.
I keep trying to think.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm just sitting here smiling because everything you just described totally makes sense. And I've been on both ends of that. And I appreciate that. It's really cool to think about it from that lens versus, you know, just kind of being mad that the fighting is what it is. So that's great.
Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, Jacob, that's what I hope is that through this awesome, spontaneous conversation that we've had, our listeners are really able to get a hold of some tips, some tools, and some things that they're going to really practice in their own relationships and their own lives, befriending their emotions, being with what's happening, learning how to love one another more fully from a place of respect. And, you know, this is the way that we start changing the world, Jacob. We do the work within ourselves, we bring it to our relationships, and then it's just like the pebble in the pond, right? And the concentric circles of love and healing are going to go out through the entire world. So thank you all so much for being here, joining us on The Spark tonight, myself and my awesome, awesome producer, Jacob Kappas. And again, for information on doing work with me on whether it's transformational life coaching or joining one of our wonderful events, joining the Igniting Your Best Life group, find me on stephaniejames.world. Thanks for being here tonight.
Thanks for tuning into The Spark with Stephanie James. remember that you already have what you need to live a life that is fully lit and fully alive. You're already holding the flame. Now it's time to ignite your best life. Learn more at stephaniejames.world. That's stephaniejames.world. And tune in next week at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on transformationtalkradio.com. Shine on!
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.